Good morning. Buenos días. So today I'm going to share with you some of the challenges that we face developing the research that we were funded to conduct through the MARI initiative in Puerto Rico. I'll start by saying that I have no personal financial relationship to disclose. So in general, we want to assess the challenges that we had faced in the development and implementation of the study. I'm going to share some background information here, but for some of you, this is our daily discussions. And as you know, the HIV epidemic is affecting disproportionately some of the most marginalized groups in our societies. But MSM and gay men are disproportionately affected among those populations impacted by the HIV epidemic. In the U.S., MSM, particularly Black and Latino MSM, are among those most affected by the epidemic. But also to understand the HIV epidemic in Puerto Rico, it is important to contextualize in the Caribbean. We are as Caribbean as we are part of the U.S. But when it comes to the epidemic, the issues that we face are a mix of both experiences, the epidemic in the U.S. and in the Caribbean. And the Caribbean is still one of the regions that is mostly affected by the epidemic. Most of our country island nations have a prevalence of more than 1%. And in general, sexual transmission has been the leading cause of HIV transmission in the region. That might seem similar to the U.S., but the truth is that in Puerto Rico, we've seen different trends in general, or at least what has been recorded in our surveillance systems. Here I'm sharing briefly the HIV prevalence among men by mode of transmission. As you can see, different from the data in the U.S. and in most places in the Caribbean, is injecting drug use the main mode of transmission of HIV among men. Only 24% of the men living with HIV in Puerto Rico have reported having had sex with men or using drug and having had sex with men. However, when we see the trends of HIV incidence in Puerto Rico for the last 5 years, I like to see that something is changing, and probably we are noticing some signs of a shifting epidemic. The two lines in the center here are the only two representing data of MSM. And as you can see, are the only two that are going up. So it's the only two groups, MSM and MSN and IDU, that are increasing. The red line is injecting drug use among men. And this is data only among men. So I think we are seeing a shifting in the epidemic among men in Puerto Rico in general. And noticing that our MSM, those mostly affected by the epidemic, we can clearly understand the importance of conducting research with this group. And as we know, in Puerto Rico, as in many other contexts, gay men and MSM are heightened for risk of HIV transmission. And they are among the least likely to be identified and retained in health services. And usually that underrepresentation in health service is a consequence of multiple types of stigma to which MSM, and particularly HIV-positive MSM, are subject. We approach the understanding of stigma as a social determinant of health that results in prejudice and discrimination. And gay men and other MSM are not only impacted by the HIV stigma, but also face stigma associated to their sexual practices and sexual identities. Based on the literature, we know that stigma promotes social isolation, fear of seeking healthcare services, avoidance of testing, treatment interruptions, fear of disclosure, either sexual identities or sexual practices or HIV status. However, the data that we know on stigma is limited to developed countries, and among MSM, is mostly coming from the U.S. We don't have data on stigma and MSM in the Caribbean or in Puerto Rico. So our study is the first one approaching stigma and the combination of HIV stigma and sexual orientation identity stigma with MSM in Puerto Rico. So In terms of the methods, and here is where the presentation turns to be something different from what we were thinking about. Originally, we were planning to share the findings from the pilot of our MADI study. And the pilot was basically to conduct two focus groups with community-based community advisory boards to share the analysis of four in-depth interviews with MSM in Puerto Rico and four in-depth interviews with healthcare providers in HIV clinical settings in Puerto Rico. However, our main finding when doing the analysis was actually the challenge we had to conduct the study. So we decided to share the challenges as the main finding of the study. And so what I'm going to share with you is based on the data analysis of the process, not only the interviews. And we reviewed the data using content and discourse analysis for common themes. The three areas that we identify as main challenges for developing research among HIV-positive MSM in Puerto Rico are the lack of knowledge of sexual health, qualitative methodologies, and sex research in the medical context. And I said medical context because our School of Public Health is within a medical sciences campus, and we are basically one of the few groups within the campus that are conducting qualitative research. So that was a main challenge. But it could apply to public health as well and to other healthcare professions or other settings or contexts related to health. The second area was homophobia. And the third is the lack of experience or limited willingness to collaborate from local health authorities. I'm going to share some examples using the voices of the participants from the pilot study and also the words we had to hear from people in the structures or institutions associated with developing the study. And please bear with me, all the information was in Spanish. It's our main language in Puerto Rico, so the quotes are translated. For those of you that conduct qualitative research, you know that we are losing a little bit when translating. But I'm trying to do my best here. So the first sign of homophobia that we experienced came very early in the development of the study when we were recruiting one of our research assistants. When her contract got to an administrative office and they noticed the title of the project, Stigma Among Gay Men and MSM, the first reaction that we got was, "I won't go ahead and sign the document. I don't promote that gay thing." We also had some challenges going through IRB. I was asked to attend a meeting with some of the committee members, and they wanted more details about the study and the life history interviews that I was submitting for their review. And they asked, "Why do you ask about sexuality so early in the interview? Why are you asking about sex when they were kids? Do you want to recruit sexually active men? What do you mean by sexually active? We are concerned you won't be able to recruit those types of men." Those quotes evidence lack of knowledge of methods that we were using in the study, lack of knowledge in the sexuality field, and of course, homophobia. In their interviews with healthcare providers, particularly with those that self-describe as gay or as gay-friendly, we have clearly identified stereotypes and prejudice associated with MSM. And for example, when they were asked about how they would describe a gay man and other MSM in Puerto Rico, they said, "Males in Puerto Rico must be masculine. They must have had at least one girlfriend." MSMs are divided in two, the gay ones, who are white, styled, and share the same qualities as the metropolitan U.S. gays, and the others, depending on the reference. MSMs to be more neat, they worry more about their physical appearance. On the other hand, gay men and other MSM have shared their experiences of fear and rejection when accessing health services. One participant shared, "I always ask myself, what will be the reaction when I say I'm an HIV-positive gay man?" That evidenced fear of disclosure. Another participant said, "One time I went to the urologist, and I don't know if it was because I'm gay or I'm HIV positive, but he didn't want to do the procedure. This is a clear evidence of an active stigma toward the group." But despite earlier comments from colleagues at the IRB, our experience is that we can conduct research, and our participants want to share their own experiences. As shared by one of our interviewers, she shared, "I have not encountered any participant in our study that didn't want to talk. They have shared that they felt comfortable talking about sex." And these were words of one of the MSM in our interviews, but we have heard similar things repeatedly. "Thank you. I believe that since I was diagnosed, I haven't stopped to think about my sexuality." Even healthcare providers have shared their thoughts about the research. One healthcare provider from a community-based organization shared, "Thanks for the invitation to the research interview. It made me think and remember." So as you can imagine, the implications of these challenges for research implementation, particularly, are many. Among those, now we know that developing realistic timelines implies considering potential challenges that are not necessarily typical of other research projects. We also know that conducting research on emerging topics, methodologies, and stigmatized areas also implies educating partners and stakeholders. And finally, we require trust from our community partners and members. That's essential. They are the allies in the process. Despite the challenges, we know that conducting research is possible. As of October 25th, last week, we have completed 19 live history interviews with HIV-positive gay men and other MSM, 10 in-depth interviews with healthcare providers, and 45 survey interviews that has been collected in the last 5 weeks. And just to give you a sneak peek of what we are finding, among those survey participants that are between 20 and 60 years of age, more than a quarter did not self-identify as gay. Half of them have interrupted HIV medication during the last month. Almost half show severe HIV stigma, as per measured by an HIV stigma scale. And over half have shown moderate to severe stigma associated with sexual orientation. I want to thank the MADI team who has supported our project, our main community partners, COAI and Puerto Rico CONCRA, and Gerardo and part of our sex team. Thank you very much.
Excellent presentation. We have time for maybe one question before we move on to Pam, Dr. Foster, and then we can come back at the end. Jose?
I'm going to ask, how long did the IRB process take?
Oh, I'm still in IRB. Well, no. Some, no, at the local IRB at the UPR. Well, something that we did very early was to separate the submissions to IRB. So we submitted the qualitative interview with MSM under one review, then the healthcare providers interview in another, and the survey in a separate one. So it took longer, but at the same time, it was easier just to go one by one and using each experience to help us going through the next. So in all over, I would say 8 months.